listening to Law and Gospel here at Worldwide KFUO on this Rumination Thursday, August the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2017. And with us on the line is Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Is this a test today?
I don't know. Are you going to the doctor?
No, but you said, what, August 30th?
Oh, did I say August 30th?
Yeah.
No, it's February 30th. No. What is it?
You've been out in the rain.
Well, I just came from an important meeting with looking how Concordia Mission Society can continue to support the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We've given over $100,000 recently, and so we were getting it all set up. But today is March the 30th. I said okay. August. I was just testing you.
See if I was actually listening, huh?
Well, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to be talking about how people have left the Christian church and are following what we would refer to as victimization. That's the real problem for many people today.
Yeah, I think it's victimization. I also ran across a movement it kind of started developing back in 2005, what they call the New American Religion.
Oh, explain that a little bit.
And it falls a little bit into this victimization that we're talking about. It's called the MTD.
The what?
The MTD.
Oh, MTV.
MTD. Moralistic Therapeutic Deism.
Oh, well done. Moralistic Therapeutic. And what was the last one?
Theism, as in God.
Theism.
D, with a D.
Oh, MTD.
Yes.
Yes. Explain particularly the therapeutic approach.
Well, the therapeutic kind of gets into the central goal that life is to be happy and feel good about themselves.
Yep.
And God doesn't need to really be particularly involved in one's life except when he's needed to resolve a problem.
Yes. And see, that's what God does in this MTD religion. He's there to solve a problem. And Jesus identifies with us in our suffering, and therefore that's because we're all victims of whatever has happened. But in reality, Christianity really tells us we need to suffer the absolute and unconditional working of God upon us. And we're really rendered passive by the divine activity in the sense that when you become a member of the Holy Christian Church, that's not because you are a victim, but because you are rendered passive, and everything that God does is to bring you into his family, and you do not contribute to it, or do you cooperate with it. It's an act of God where you are a passive, just like the lost sheep did not contribute to his being taken home. He was found, put on the shoulders of Jesus, and returned home.
Right. Well, and as you outline that, it's what God does for us. But in this whole movement, what's kind of happened is that somehow you can do it. You can feel good. You can go out and do some good things. It puts in opposition to that whole Christian faith that it's God who's done it all for us.
Yes. What the problem for humanity has become in many churches is that you're not guilty, but you have a meaningless life.
Yeah, you have to go out and find a way to be good. It's kind of an opposition. It's a mixture of false religion that you don't need to repent of your sins. Don't have to be a servant of the God. You don't have to observe holy days. You just don't have to be involved in religion. Just go out and be good.
Yes. Apparently, we are no longer sinners, but victims. And the problem is not guilt, but meaninglessness. If guilt, then we are blamed as sinners. But if meaninglessness is the problem, who's responsible for that?
Right. See, it becomes us.
And we're seeing this on college campuses all over the place where they're trying to find a safe home. And therefore, for example, recently somebody was putting up a flag, a young woman whose father was a policeman, and she put up Blue Lives Matter, referring to the police.
Right.
And she was told, no, you got to take that down. The only thing that was appropriate was Black Lives Matter. And, of course, that's because police aren't seen as victims, but they're the people who make people victims.
Yeah, or you hear of college cases where they start talking about the origin of life with evolution versus creation. And those that are creationists in the God method, that God created the world,
yes,
are looked as causing harm and danger to those that believe in evolution.
You see, if people think that we are victims and not sinners, what we need is affirmation and support, not repentance and forgiveness. Let's take just homosexuality. A lot of people say, no, that's the way I was born. And since I was born that way, I need not to repent and be forgiven it, because that's the way God wants me. I need affirmation and support. And so when Christians speak out against homosexuality as a horrible thing, people say, no, you're making us victims. We need instead support. And Christianity becomes more therapeutic rather than evangelical in the sense of law and gospel.
It's therapeutic as to what you're talking to, but also remember I said that amoralistic. You know, it is that God wants us to be good and nice to each other as taught in the Bible and other world religions. It isn't just Christianity, but how do we be nice to one another? And what you've just talked about boils it down to that, too.
Now, there's no doubt that among the level of human relations, we ought to be having a language of affirmation, comfort, support, building self-esteem, that can occur in a family. But we need to understand, and I'm going to use some philosophy here, that is really penultimate. It's not the ultimate item, because once we become seen as victims and we're looking for affirmation, comfort, support, building self-esteem, the danger comes when this language displaces or obscures the ultimate problem we have, which is sin before Almighty God. And the fundamental question, really, of every person is, how do I arrive at that righteousness that will enable us to stand before God? Now, if you think you're a victim, well, you don't need that righteousness. All you need is support. All you need is somebody telling you that you're affirmed in the lifestyle that you're doing. And that's what's causing the problem today.
Right. Well, the I call it fuzzy logic or fuzzy thinking. I mean, you go to Ephesians 2, for instance. There it talks about that we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in our sins. Or as I sometimes explain it, dead from the neck up and dead from the neck down. I mean, there was no way that we were ever going to find God or get ourselves into a right manner of thinking.
So when people start talking about, I need to go to church because I need a support group, that really flies in the face of law and gospel, that the primary purpose of a sermon is to show you not that you're a victim, but that you're a sinner. And yet God even takes care of that problem through the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, etc. And so that's how the church kind of doesn't support you in your lifestyle, but comforts you when you recognize that you're falling short of the glory of God.
Or, you know, you go into Galatians, for instance, chapter 5, where it says it was for freedom that Christ set us free, that we are set free through that salvation that has been won for us by Christ. And then when you read later in that same chapter, it is faith working through love, or through love we serve one another. We are set free by Christ to serve one another, not to work our way into some kind of freedom.
Yes, what we have here is a distinction not only between law and gospel, but a distinction between the two kinds of theologians. The one is the theologian of self-glory, I like to talk about, where everything we do, what's in it for me? I do things out of self-interest. The other is the theologian of the cross, who recognizes that while we are here on earth, we're going to go through various forms of suffering. The Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, because you have nothing in your spirit to offer God to offset your sins. Now, if the church becomes a community of acceptance and tolerance, and therefore a therapeutic group, that flies in the face of what Jesus indicated, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yeah, I think you bring up another excellent point there. Is if somehow we don't see our sinfulness, and that it's Christ that has freed us from that by his death and resurrection and faith in his promises, what begins to happen is, have I done enough good things to merit this goodness and this moralistic freedom that I'm looking for?
Exactly. So the theology of the cross, in the first instance, is God's attack on human sin. It's called a preaching of the law. And the law says, here's where you're going wrong. You cannot fix it, because you can never do the law perfectly. And therefore, the cross is also shorthand for how God fixes us, not through acceptance, not through therapy, but through the crucifixion, the resurrection, and exaltation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think you bring up, you know, when we talk, as we're talking, what also comes to mind is this whole movement makes us the gospel. We're the ones that free ourselves versus outside of ourselves. We look to just what you talked about. It is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus' death and resurrection.
Boy, you hit that on the head, because the theology of the cross becomes very offensive, because it attacks what we usually consider to be the best in our life, namely our good works. And boy, we really got thin skin when the old Adam is attacked by the theology of the cross that shows it was necessary for God to become a human being in order to die for our sins. That's how bad we are. And therefore, therapy, affirmation is not sufficient in order to come across with many people who are feeling meaninglessness in life today.
Right. It kind of, the other thought that came to mind is Ephesians 1, where I call it God's stewardship there. In verse 10, it says, a stewardship suitable to the fullness of time. That is the summing up of all things in Christ. God's management of the whole world and solution to this problems that we are facing is sending Jesus into the world.
Yes, Christianity just has a different attack in our life. It doesn't attack what is bad in our lives, namely our sins, but the real theologian of the cross attacks our pretension that comes with our good works. I mean, how many times have you heard, even in Lutheran circles, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And somebody will say, well, yeah, because I go to church, I give offerings, I may be a Sunday school teacher, I'm an officer in the church, I volunteer. The I's is what the theology of the cross attacks, saying, no, none of that is sufficient in order to become right with God.
Right. It's to remind ourselves that Christ came into the world to redeem creation from the curse of sin. It isn't just his well-behaved and well-adjusted behavior. It's a result of the fact that I believe in my Lord Jesus Christ and I begin that walk in my Christian life.
Yes, the theology of the cross, therefore, does two things. It, first of all, kills, and then it makes alive. It kills the old being in thinking that I'm good enough to get to heaven. And then that's doing that in anticipation of the resurrection of the new man that comes about through faith in Jesus Christ.
This is really a lot, as you and I discussed this the other day, and we're discussing it now. It's really a deep problem. And I can see where, you've been talking about how at Trinity Orchard Farm, with your confirmation class, you have them memorized, obviously, some Bible passages and things like that. But it's the application, how we put that to work, how we work out these things in our life as we trust in those promises.
Yeah, it's like learning arithmetic. It's one thing to know all the multiplication tables, but if you don't understand how that works in life, well, it's kind of pretty good for the mind, but isn't helping out with life. And that's really the goal of proper confirmation, is to apply the catechism to one's life. Where the cross, therefore, the theology of the cross, is one in which, in the first instance, it's an attack by God against my old Adam. But then it is also God's doing to me what I'm unable to do for myself. That is, I cannot become righteous by my works, but I am declared to be righteous by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, which also is an act from God himself.
And I got a Bible passage for that.
Go.
I love Ephesians. There in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God,
yes,
not a result of works that anyone should boast.
Yeah, that's really, really important. So let's take an example where a lot of people are feeling that they are victims today. And are you aware of the number of soldiers that commit suicide in the United States each day?
It's post-traumatic syndrome or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, post-traumatic stress, this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And their life appears to be meaningless. And that's because of the experiences they had during the war, and therefore they see nothing more to live for. And it's so sad to see that, because the answer to a soldier who's going through that kind of depression is to show that Jesus himself, yes, he went through that depression, but he did it on our behalf in order that we might still be saved by a merciful and gracious God who no longer looks at our sins or our meaninglessness in life, but so loves us that he wants to gather us into his family.
That hits home for me.
How so?
I had an uncle that went through the Korean War and very, very devout Christian on my mother's side. And he came home with that from the war. He suffered from it for years. I come along, I'm a young Lutheran pastor.
Right.
He decides to sit down and talk to me about this stuff. It was just creating havoc in the family. And we had to work through the very issues that you talked about,
Yes.
That there is meaning to life and what war meant, but especially that in Christ we find life and forgiveness. You can just see the weight come off of his shoulders.
Well, one of the things about the way sinners act, how many times have you heard, somebody committed suicide and people say, we had no idea that they were feeling that way? And that's because the theology of the cross wants to uncover and expose the ways in which sinners hide their infidelity behind a pious facade.
Right. We don't want to take the time to listen.
And that's because we're most interested in our reputation. And therefore, we hide a lot of times, not only from God, we think, but also from others, really how depressed we are. But the theology of the cross allows us to express that depression without being judgmental in the sense, well, therefore, you're going to go to hell. It's a theology that encourages people to be honest about repentance. That's the hardest thing to do because it appears that we're putting down our self-esteem when in reality, proper repentance is raising Christ to the level that he wants us to be.
So really, in a real sense, I suppose that we would say that in order to get to heaven, we all have to be sinners.
Yes.
Are sinners.
That's right. in fact, I've said it a number of times. Who goes to hell, namely sinners? Well, who also goes to heaven? And the answer is sinners. The difference is those of faith go to heaven, but they're not any less a sinner than those who go to hell.
It's the trust in the promises of Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Yes, and the more that we put out that the problems you're having is because you're victimized. I'm just always surprised listening to Law and Order and the defenses that somebody will give for maybe hurting or killing someone is the way they were brought up. They say, well, look at these are the kind of parents they had, and they really never learned proper morality. And for some reason, they think that takes away from their responsibility because they're now victims rather than actors of sin.
You do realize there are some studies out there that show that the way the parents go, the kids go too, that parents have an influence over what their kids believe and teach.
I hate to quote the Bible here at the end of the commandments. That and then how does that Bible verse go? That the sins of the parents fall upon the children.
Children, yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's so critical that you either do parochial school, send your kids to Sunday school, good homeschooling, this kind of thing, in order that children might not follow a lot of times in the footsteps of their parents.
But also, parents that take that time to get up with their kids, go to church, spend some time. I mean, like with ours, we used to spend time after church talking about not just only the sermon, but what did they do in Sunday school? What did they learn about Jesus? What was the lesson about?
Yeah, the Concordia Publishing House material for the leaders, and you know, I do that program on issues, etc., each week on Tuesdays. What it suggests after the Sunday school lesson that do exactly what you just said, Wes, that the parents sit down and kind of go through what did the children get out of the Sunday school lesson.
Right. Yeah, that was something, you know, during this vacancy up at Trinity Manitou, we did is we started hooking the lessons back home to the parents. You know, Concordia Publishing House has this little booklet, 121 Bible stories.
Oh, yes.
And most of them can be found in the lessons that they're covering on a Sunday morning. So we passed out books to the parents so that they could spend some time going across the lesson with the kids again during the week.
Yes. Well, we're getting ready for Sunday. I'll be preaching at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm, 8 and 10:30, with a Bible study in between. And by the way, tomorrow, Friday, between 4:30 and 7, if anybody wants some really good fish, you can purchase it. Just go to the church, not the school, on Highway 94, and there's a garage behind there. It's all takeout, but this is the last opportunity that you're going to be able to purchase some delicious fish meals from Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm. What's your plans for Sunday?
my plans is to take it off and do some visitation.
Excellent. All righty. Well, I'm Tom Baker, and you're listening to Law and Gospel Rumination Thursday with Wes Reimnitz. And I'll tell you, if you ever listen to other stations, listen how often sermons are becoming therapeutic rather than proper law and gospel sermons, where people are not just seen as victims, but are seen as sinners in need of Christ's forgiveness. Thanks so very much for being with me, Wes.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right. God bless. Hopefully we'll be back next Thursday. In the meantime, don't hesitate to email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com for tomorrow's Open Mic Friday. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.